5 and 10 from Skywatch TV for June 30th, 2020. I'm Derek Gilbert. Topic number 5 today, some court rulings, 2 to tell you about. On Monday, the Supreme Court struck down abortion restrictions in the state of Louisiana that would have required doctors at abortion clinics to have admitting privileges at a hospital within 30 miles of their clinic. This would have resulted in Louisiana having only one abortion clinic, at least temporarily. The fact that the Supreme Court struck it down considered a major win for pro-abortion activists. The court decided in its 5-4 ruling that it places an undue burden on women seeking abortions. Chief Justice John Roberts, appointed by George W. Bush, sided with the liberal justices on the court. And he noted that while the court's previous decision to strike down an almost identical law in Texas was wrong, he felt it was important for the court to stand by its previous decisions, even if they were wrong, apparently, which makes no sense in this or any other universe. In another decision last week, a federal judge ruled that the state of New York, while having a valid interest in slowing the spread of COVID-19, must give religious gatherings the same rights as secular industries in its reopening plan. Judge Gary Sharp wrote that Governor Andrew Cuomo and New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio gave preferential treatment to mass protests by supporting the crowds while maintaining restrictions on the size of religious gatherings. Judge Sharp wrote that Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio could have just as easily discouraged protests short of condemning them or condemning their message in the name of public health, instead of encouraging what they knew was a flagrant disregard of the outdoor limits and social distancing rules. They could also have been silent, but by acting as they did, Governor Cuomo and Mayor de Blasio sent a clear message that mass protests are deserving of preferential treatment, end quote. As long as those mass protests are promoting the right message, of course. Topic number 4, corporate hypocrisy, coming to the fore in this contentious year. Microsoft, just the latest corporation to halt advertising on Facebook. Facebook in the crosshairs of many corporations right now. Also, Facebook owned Instagram because of concerns that Microsoft's ads were being run next to content that they deemed inappropriate or objectionable or offensive. This ad suspension, even if temporary, could be somewhat substantial. Microsoft was Facebook's third largest advertiser in 2019, spending about $116 million. Now, the Civil Rights Coalition, which includes the Anti-Defamation League and the NAACP, launched a hashtag Stop Hate for Profit campaign last week, calling on major corporations to put a pause on advertising on Facebook. They're upset that Facebook is not censoring conservative voices, and especially posts coming from the White House and President Trump. But here's the thing. While this may put a dent in Facebook's revenue, it will not cripple it. An analysis of Facebook's ad revenue found that of the companies that have joined the boycott so far, only 4, Microsoft, Verizon, Unilever, and the outdoor equipment retailer REI, rank among the top 100 advertisers on Facebook. Unilever ranking 30th, Microsoft again ranking 3rd. But what they found was that the ad spending for the highest 100 brands, the 100 brands that spend the most on Facebook, accounted for about $4.2 billion in Facebook's ad revenue last year, but that's only 6% of the company's income. So all brand advertising could be suspended on Facebook, and Facebook would still be taking in more than 90% of its revenue. Again, it would hurt, but it would not cripple the company. In other words, these companies are just virtue signaling, and it's not really going to change anything. Now, speaking of Unilever, I found this to be very interesting. Again, remember Unilever saying it's not going to advertise on Facebook because Facebook is promoting hatred. We will point out that while Facebook or Unilever has stopped advertising on Facebook, they continue to do business in Iran. This includes companies affiliated with the country's terrorist military arm, the Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps. It's Unilever not just stopping advertising on Facebook, but also on other social media platforms like Twitter and YouTube. This is a global food and soap manufacturer based in the United Kingdom and the Netherlands, which is how it can get away with continuing to do business in Iran, because, you know, it's illegal for American corporations to do so. They have pointed to the polarized atmosphere of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and say that this conflicts with Unilever's responsibility framework. But again, they continue to do business and spend money inside Iran, advertising products on Iranian government television, according to its annual reports, and conducting business with companies owned either indirectly or directly by Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps, which the U.S. designated a terrorist organization last year. And just in case you're interested, before you go to the store next time, here are Unilever's brands here in the United States: Axe, Dove, Hellman's Mayonnaise, Knorr Soap, Lipton, Pond's, Vaseline, Ben & Jerry's. Very progressive there, doing business in Iran, its corporate owners. Speaking of ice cream, Breyers, Good Humor, Klondike Bars, Magnum, Degree, Caress, Trace Amé, Noxzema, Popsicle, Q-Tips, Suave, St. Ives, et cetera, all of those owned by Unilever, not promoting hatred here in the United States while at the same time doing business with Iran. Topic number three, canceling Israel. Four Democratic members of the House of Representatives have been circulating a letter to U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo threatening to cut off U.S. assistance to Israel if the Jewish state goes ahead with its plan to apply sovereignty to about 15% of Judea and Samaria. That's what the world calls the West Bank. Letter issued by Representatives Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, Pramila Jayapal of Washington, and Betty McCollum of Minnesota. The letter accuses Israel of paving the path toward an apartheid system since it won't grant citizenship to Palestinians living in the annexed territory, even though the Palestinians are living under the rule currently of the notoriously corrupt Palestinian Authority, known for human rights abuses and supporting terrorism against Israelis. By the way, only about 200 Palestinians showed up earlier this month to protest Israel's plans to extend sovereignty over the Jordan Valley and parts of Judea and Samaria. The low turnout on June 8th demonstrates that the Palestinian Authority is having trouble getting people in its jurisdiction worked up about Israel's plan. Either they're just not that interested, the weather's too hot, COVID-19, something. But apparently they have other priorities than protesting. Or maybe they understand that they'd be better off living under Israeli jurisdiction. Just wondering. Or maybe it's this. Maybe they figure, why protest when BLM will do it for you? Or worse, as in the case of Europe, Brussels, Belgium, Sunday, a crowd of about 500 Belgians protested the Israeli plan to impose sovereignty over Judea and some parts of Judea and Samaria, shouting, Idbach, Idbach, al-Yahud. This is an Arabic hate slogan that roughly translates as slaughter, slaughter the Jews, or butcher, butcher the Jews. It was used by Arabs when they set out to do harm during the days of the British Mandate in Palestine prior to Israeli independence in 1948. Topic number two, redefining God's word. The Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, which was recently criticized for addressing God as mother on its official Twitter feed, has now published a handbook on sexual orientation intended to deepen and expand its welcome of LGBTQIA+ members. I had to look up the Twitter post just to make sure it was true, and sure enough, there it is. Mother God, you have... That's not in the Bible. Not even a hint of that in the Bible. Anyway, this handbook is titled Lutheran Introduction to Sexual Orientation, Gender Identity, and Gender Expression, aimed at, and I quote, dismantling barriers between people. This is put out by Reconciling Works, a Lutheran ministry affirming God's love for people of all sexual orientations and gender identities. Now, the handbook identifies gender identity as a person's innate, deeply felt psychological identification as a man, woman, or another gender, as if there were more than two, which may or may not correspond to the sex assigned to them at birth. Sex is not assigned at birth, it's assigned in the womb. Except in very rare instances, you are either an XX or an XY. Biology is reality, not psychology. Anyway, the bottom line here is that the ELCA has been totally converged, joining other mainstream, mainline denominations in trying to conform to the world instead of conforming to the Word of God. But we, in this one respect, the ELCA is correct. We do need to approach those who are gender confused with love, because if they see us approaching them with hatred in our eyes, trying to beat them over the head with a Bible, virtually speaking, we make ourselves a stumbling block between them and the saving grace, the saving love of Jesus Christ. Sadly, there's a growing body of Christians out there who feel that loving those in the LGBTQIA+ movement means accepting and affirming their lifestyle choices, even when those choices are contrary to what God has decreed. And that can be difficult, especially if it's a family member who's made a poor choice. Popular author and speaker went public last week, and I'm not going to say her name because I don't want this to be about me versus her. I'm not trying to call her out. She's not the problem. This is just another symptom of the deeper underlying problem, which is wanting to conform to the world for the approval of the world. Just remember Jesus' words, "Woe unto you when the world speaks well of you." She announced that her daughter was gay. Now, they'd known this for a while and waited to announce it to the world. But in this podcast episode, this author-speaker declared that it's not enough for pastors and Christians to just love LGBT people. We need to fully embrace their lifestyles, explaining that it may be even more cruel to love LGBT people while also believing homosexuality to be contrary to biblical teaching. Love them, yes. Share our hope in Christ with them, with gentleness and respect, if they're willing to listen and not trying to engage in a gotcha to reaffirm their own beliefs, if they're contrary to the Word of God. If they are not willing to listen, remember, we will not browbeat them into the kingdom. Follow the advice Jesus gave the disciples. If they won't listen, you know, share the hope we have with gentleness and respect. If they won't listen, shake the dust from your sandals and move on. Perhaps they will remember your love at a time when they really need someone to love them. And in the meanwhile, pray like their lives depend on it, because they do. Coming up, archaeology is cool. That's ahead on 5 and 10.
COVID-19 has changed everything. Because of the coronavirus, we can't bring the sold-out Defender Conference to Branson this year. So we decided, if we can't bring the conference to Branson, we'll bring it to you instead. Skywatch TV's 2020 Defender Conference is going virtual. If you thought you were going to miss out because you couldn't travel to Branson this year, or because the conference sold out too quickly, now, see and hear world-class speakers, cutting-edge presentations in the comfort of your own home. And to make it better, we're adding new speakers like Steve Quayle and New York Times best-selling author Joel Richardson. And don't miss what Tom Horn says will be his last conference presentation ever. Plus, we'll add all of the presentations from the 2019 Defender Conference, so you're getting two conferences for the price of one. Sign up now, Skywatch TV's 2020 Defender Conference. Virtual, but bigger than ever. It goes live August 27th, 2020. For information and registration, log on to DefenderConference.com. That's DefenderConference.com.
Item number one, archaeological evidence of the return from Babylon. An unusually large seal and an impression from that seal could be the first solid evidence of Jerusalem's reconstruction after the Jews returned from Babylon 2,600 years ago, about 2,400 years ago, actually. It was destroyed almost 2,600 years ago by the army of Nebuchadnezzar. Both artifacts were found in a burned-down house to which people had returned after the city's destruction. It could indicate the restoration of a government and administration of the city. This, according to archaeologists working just south of the Temple Mount. They said they found evidence of the Babylonian destruction for quite some time, but until now, very little evidence of the return to Zion and the city's reconstruction. But these two artifacts you see on the screen behind me, believed to be exactly that, evidence of the city rising from its ruins in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, two books of the Bible that basically document the return after the decree of Cyrus. These two artifacts were found in situ, meaning undisturbed, for almost 2,500 years, well, 2,600 years since the destruction of Babylon, and really an encouraging find because, again, it documents the Jewish presence in Jerusalem going back a long, long ways. This, by the way, this dig taking place in the city of David, a site formerly known as the Givati parking lot, just south of the Temple Mount. We've been there twice now, and you can join us there next spring when we return to Israel, the SkyWatch TV 2021 tour of Israel called Search for the Travelers, that being a term that was applied in the ancient world to the demonic spirits of the Rephaim. We will go to Jerusalem. We'll visit the city of David, the tunnels underneath the Western Wall. We will ascend to the Temple Mount. Did that this past year. It was an amazing experience. We'll also see archaeological sites that other tours just will not visit, like the Altar of Joshua, Gilgal, Rephaim, and more. The optional four-day extension takes us over to Jordan, the other land of the Bible, where we'll visit Petra, of course, which is a once-in-a-lifetime experience, the Red Desert of Wadi Rum, and Mount Nebo, from which you will see Jericho, the plains of Moab, which are described by the prophet Ezekiel as the Valley of the Travelers, where the War of Gog and Magog ends. And by the way, we'll also point out the site of Sodom from Mount Nebo. You can see it from there. To find out more, take a look at the sample itinerary and get an idea of costs and so forth. Log on to skywatchinisrael.com. That's skywatchinisrael.com. Speaking of archaeology, just a couple of weeks, I'll be giving a presentation for the upcoming Sons of God Giants of Old Conference, July 17th and 18th. Now, this is an actual physical conference, first one since March, actually. Unfortunately, I won't be there. Can't be. We'll be here recording programs in the studio at SkyWatch TV. But it will take place at the Fellowship in Lubbock, Texas, the church pastored by Dan Crestman. Dr. Judd Burton coordinating this conference. He'll be one of the featured speakers along with Dr. Michael Heiser, Dr. Doug Hamp, Dr. Aaron Judkins, one of the discoverers of the most recent scroll cave at Qumran, Dr. Greg Reed, Joel Taylor, the curator of the Mount Blanco Fossil Museum, and then I will be there via video. I'll be recording my presentation and sending it on to Judd to find out more. And by the way, the registration is only $10. This is the best little conference in America and some great, great information. For more information, log on to burtonbeyond.com, burtonbeyond.com. Our conference, SkyWatch TV's 2020 Defender Conference, it will be virtual. We sold it out, but sadly, because of social distancing restrictions, we can't guarantee the hotel will fit everybody inside. So we're going virtual, but we're adding more speakers to make it even bigger. Steve Quayle and Joel Richardson added to the lineup now. Besides that, Dr. Michael Heiser, Dr. Michael Lake, you see the pictures behind me. You'll find the complete list and the registration at the conference website, which is defenderconference.com, defenderconference.com. This week on SkyWatch TV, we talk about the changes for the Defender Conference and progress on the new studio. We'll also take you inside the new studio. The soundproofing has been hung on the walls. The carpeting's being installed as I speak. And we're just weeks away from getting into the new studio. And we thank you for your help. We can use more because we still need to put cameras and lights in there. So your support very much appreciated. To find out more, just check out this week's broadcast program. You'll find the schedule for the over-the-air broadcast at skywatchtv.com/channels, or just download the SkyWatch TV channel and add it to your Roku box or Apple TV or the Amazon Fire Stick, and then we'll broadcast whenever you click the remote. You could also download the free mobile app. It's good for iOS, Android, or Amazon Kindle Fire tablets, and we will broadcast on your smart device whenever you tap the screen. My website, where we link all of our stuff, Sharon and me, is gilberthouse.org. That includes our weekly Bible study, my weekly podcast, and more. You'll find it all online, gilberthouse.org. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is 5 in 10 from SkyWatch TV.